Hello and welcome to the MHG podcast. As usual, life can be a little bit miserable, life can be a little bit dark, so we're here to bring you oodles of joy and a ton of light because we're into a new time zone again, which is still useless. But I tell you who's not useless, it's Stu. Hi Brad, how you doing, Stu?
Not bad, yeah. No, I like the light nights. I really don't like the dark. It's really weird. I wasn't bothered when I was young, but now it's kind of like I'm an old grumpy old man and I'm kind of like, oh, I really need my light nights. But it was good coming back from work, coming back from the office in the daylight last night. It was cheery, so I feel cheered.
Yeah, but you know, I'm okay. Like I'm not actually fussed about what the nights do. Just don't change it. We don't need to change it. What farmers actually care these days?
I'd be interested to hear if anyone actually cared. I mean, I know it's a bigger deal further up north, like in Scotland and stuff. But you know, sod them. No, I'm only joking. Yeah,
sod them. They won't even arrest JK, won't it? No, let's
not. Oh, don't go there.
We haven't got enough time. Not enough time this week. We'll cover that another week. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty condensed episode this week because life finds a way or something Jurassic Park related. And that's just nice for me to turn around and go, there's some great Jurassic Park films and there's some poor Jurassic Park films. Do you know what else there's been some good and bad Jurassic Park style things of?
What's that?
Video games, Stu.
Oh, yeah, I have. Do you know, I don't think I've played any Jurassic Park. Oh yeah, I have. I tell a lie. I've played the Jurassic Park, the arcade, the Sega Model 2, was it? Or Model 3 game? The
Model
light gun game.
Model 3.
Yeah. I think. It was all right as light gun shooters go, but not a classic.
Jurassic World Evolution's really good, better than the films.
Well, that's not hard, to be honest.
I still like the first Jurassic World film. I don't know why.
Really?
I just like Jurassic Park. I like Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, I do.
It's bad, but I like it.
It is bad, and I do like it. Do you know what I love? I'm kind of obsessed a little bit with kind of broken down, abandoned technology and areas. And it's got like in spades in that film, and I love it.
It's why Kirby and the Forgotten World or Kirby and the Forgotten Land is so good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That reveal was amazing. Yeah, and Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
Yes, yeah. I love all of that. And The Last of Us, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And a game we'll be talking about at the end. Does it really well. Jurassic World Evolution is really good. It's a park builder, like a theme park style game. And it's really, really good.
Excellent.
I can't comment on the most recent Jurassic World because I've not seen that one yet. But even the silly clone thing was okay. I don't mind that. But yeah, Wake Up Alan is really good in Jurassic Park 3. If you don't like that, there's something wrong with you.
I love it.
You've got to love some cheese. I look at it, it's a spoof. Jurassic Park 3 is a spoof of the Jurassic Park films. And if you watch it with that mindset, it's glorious.
That's a good way to look at it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be great. Some films just have to be fun, and it's fun. Anyway, we wasn't meant to be going off on tangents this week, Stu. So, sorry, Jurassic Park. You're going to have to be put into a corner. What have you been playing, Stu? No, I'm first, because I've got two. So ask me what I've been playing, Stu.
What have you been playing, Stu?
Ah, this week, Stu. For me, I've been playing Saviourless, a 2D platformer. That is fully indie. You'll know that by the tags on Steam have it down as indie. It's a 2D platformer that's trying to do things a bit differently and sort of succeeds. It's kind of got this really interesting art style that it's not pixel graphics, but it's not sort of like over the top HD graphics. They're very, very basic. The idea behind the game is you do all this platforming stuff, and basically it's a story that's told by a narrator. And you're basically playing through this story. There's some combat, but there's a lot of exploration. And the idea is you've got to try and take back the narrative that's been taken from you, kind of thing. It's a really interesting game in terms of I started playing it and I went, this is just very convoluted. I swear it's just convoluted and they're trying to be clever and it's not working. But the more I played it, the more it kind of made sense. And like the character design in it is really, really good. The platforming's loose, but also quite solid. So, you know, it's not, we're not talking like Meat Boy levels of tightness or even Dead Cells or anything like that. It's no, we can't touch those, but the looseness of it works for what the game is presented as. And the mystery in the story that you're playing is probably more intriguing than the gameplay and probably done a bulk of the lifting in keeping me going through it. Enemies that you do face are a mix of... they're a mix of tedious and easy to gripping and almost Dark Souls-like style bosses. The balance is not quite there with them, which is a shame because it kind of takes you out a bit. It needed a bit more tightening up in places, I would say. But the exploration, the way the story unfolds and the general gameplay, yeah, I'm enjoying it for what it is. You know, a few hours it takes to complete, and I've probably got a little bit left to go, but I've not enjoyed my time with it. I like a good dark fantasy world, and this is what this is. It's dark fantasy. It's muted colours, which I really like. Like, everything's either stupidly dark or stupidly bright. This kind of just goes, no, I'll tell you what, let's mute it a bit. So it's not black and white, but it's kind of, everything's just like a low contrast, which bizarrely, I've not had any issues with my vision either. Everything like is well designed, so enemies show up against the backgrounds really well. You show up against the backgrounds really well. The backgrounds are detailed though, and they've got a life of their own. And yeah, it's just one of those games where it's not like earth shattering. It's not great. It's not rubbish. It's just a good solid game that you can pick up for about a tenner. And it's just one of those, yeah, you know, if you've got a gap in your library or you're looking just for something quick to play over a weekend or two, perfect for it. Yeah, really interesting game that I can recommend, but I can't recommend at the same time, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that sounds fairly interesting, actually. It sounds like it's got a good kind of theme behind it, and you don't often get that kind of a theme in platformers. So you don't anymore. You used to, I think. But yeah, no, that does sound pretty intriguing.
Yeah, no, it is. As I said, it's not... we seem to still be in this binary in video games where it's either great or it's awful. You know, there's still this whole idea of a game, it's flawed, but that doesn't matter. And again, I'm probably going to finish it, and when I've finished it, I'll forget about it. But I've still had an okay experience with it, and sometimes that's okay. It's the Jurassic Park 3 of video games. It's not. It's better than that.
But as we said, that is the best. Yeah. But yeah, no.
Put that on the box. You can put that on the box. The Jurassic Park 3 of video games. That'll confuse people when they look at the game and they look at the reviews and go, what?
It really would. Damning with faint praise kind of thing. Yeah, do right.
So what's up with you? What's up for you? What have you been playing, Stu?
Well, Stu, I have been playing a game that, well, it's, you know, one of my absolute favourite genres, you know. It's the roguelike debt builder, right up my alley, totally perfect for me. Completely, yeah, of course, no, as anyone who knows the show knows that they're not generally my kind of thing, but, you know, well, I'm willing to try new stuff, you know, I'll give it a go. And, yeah, Stacklands is a roguelike debt builder, as I say, which is basically, it's about creating a community from the ground up. So essentially, like, you're given your Stone Age kind of tools and the environment around you, and you have to make a life out of it. And it's each card, you get like a starter deck, and each card is just a basic component, like a stick or a stone, and you've got to go from that, or some soil or a tree, a bush, that sort of thing. Or combine them by layering the cards on top of one another so that you can create new things. So whether that's grow the tree or create a weapon or build a house, that sort of thing. And as you go along, and the more things you develop, the more decks become available, and the decks obviously have more sophisticated stuff in them. And it's got a kind of like really clean presentation, very basic, but pleasant enough. I mean, there's not really much more that you can say about it than that. It kind of fits that tempo, even though I've not played a lot of these kinds of games. I've played a few, and it's very much in that kind of template. And so what it does well is it's got a kind of good time mechanic of it pauses the game when you're thinking, kind of thing, and it only goes when you're in action, and it does it in phases, and it kind of like it is very much like a physical card game, of which I've played quite a few of them, in that you have turns and rounds, and when the round is done, it resets, and some things you keep and some things you don't. And this does it by having moon phases that you have to be able to feed your villagers, who are the your primary kind of your primary card by the end of a phase. And it works really really well in that regard. What it doesn't do very well is kind of user experience, which is a bit odd considering it's a really simple game where all you're really doing is dragging cards around. The play space is sort of spread over a few screens, so you have to scroll, which isn't great use of space, I don't think. It doesn't automatically move cards into a good position for you, which sounds really like, well, that's not important, is it, Stu? But when there's so little going on, having a good kind of automatically, oh, it'll dump this type of card in this space for you, and this kind in this space for you, and rearrange them for you, is kind of important. Now, that doesn't necessarily, some people will want to do it manually, as they'll feel that, they want to feel like it's a real card game. Fair enough, but have the option, A little bit kind of more important than that, even though, is that there's so I go into the cards and the explanations of the cards and stuff. You kind of have to like pause the game and go over to a menu and use your D-pad or the analog sticks to like choose options. Basically, it doesn't use any of the buttons. Like I played it on Switch, and it doesn't use any of the buttons. You're using like one or two buttons for the entire experience, whereas you could just have a really quick, bumpers and triggers pulling up the menus. So it's a little bit awkward to control. And when it's such a basic game, it's like, well, why have they made it so awkward? Was it by design? Has it come from a template of a mobile game, or what's the reasoning? And there's no drag and drop with your finger. You can't use the touch screen, so it does feel like a quick and hasty kind of. I don't know if it was if it's ported from PC or whether its lead platform was the Switch, but it feels a little bit underbaked from that perspective. So it's a little bit of an odd one, really. It's got a really good core gameplay, but the overall experience is a little bit lacking. It feels like it needs more time in the oven and a bit more care and attention, if you see what I mean.
Totally, and I've played this on PC, and it is a PC port. I mean, it was on PC. I mean, it's been 2 years in the making, essentially, for coming to consoles. Now, my overall feeling on this was I really, really like the concept of the game, and the core gameplay idea is brilliant. But I kept playing it, thinking, do you know what this would be good as? A physical board game. And it's one of those where, usually you play like board games, you go, if this was digital, this would be great because I haven't got to worry about all the parts or losing them. This is a game for me that's screaming out for a physical version.
It does feel a little bit like a solution in search of a problem kind of thing. It doesn't
Yeah.
It doesn't really need to be a video game.
You're right. It needs some accessibility and quality of life. So automatic sorting would be a great one. A grid system, I think, would be another one. Turn it on, turn it off, you know. So that I want to go, right, I snap to this area. So everything's organised. Because I'm a messy fuck anyway, and I struggle with organisation. So it's something that organises for me at the click of a button, or allows me to set areas. Even if it was like, oh, look, this is how the game's meant to be played, but here's the accessibility option of, here's quadrants for you. So all item cards will go in this quadrant, and you just get them from there. All villager cards start in this quadrant, etc., etc., etc. And then this is your main play area for stacking. Little things like that would work wonders. I get why they've tried to keep it as pure as possible. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a couple of quality of life improvements away from being a brilliant game. Whereas for me, it's a really good game that's got some great ideas that doesn't quite hit the mark I want it to.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. And of course, you know all the terminology as well properly, because you play these games and I don't. So it's just good to have your input on it.
I may know the terminology. I don't know all of it because I played them. I still, I'm the worst for explaining things. You know that, Stu. Don't try and credit me with good things.
Okay, I'll never do that again. Don't worry. Coming at it from somebody who doesn't generally enjoy these games, I mean, it's kind of a good way of doing it, because it's like looking through the wrong end of the telescope, and because you don't naturally enjoy them, you can be quite objective sometimes about how they play, rather than just getting sucked up and drawn into the game itself. And I thought it was a really good idea, although, you know, as I say, I've not played a lot of these, but I can't imagine that people who were like really into Slay the Spire and stuff like that would be like, oh god, yeah, I've got to have this, because it's several rungs below that level.
So that's an interesting take, and very, very quickly, maybe something we'll discuss another time in more detail. Nothing like Slay the Spire or games like that. Yes, it's a card game, but it's like comparing 2D Mario to Mario Kart, in a way.
Yeah.
This is more of a resource management city builder with a card aesthetic, rather than a deck builder itself, or you know, like Slay the Spire is a pure deck builder battler game. This is not. This is more resource management city builder. And we'll go into more detail another time. So what I will say is, it's interesting your take that you've not hated it, but you want so many different improvements that probably opened it up to someone like you. I really enjoyed it, despite lacking those quality of life and the feeling that I want this to be a physical game over a digital game. I still think it's really good. And for other people, just to get an idea, if you don't want to take our views on it, it's overwhelmingly positive on Steam as well. So the people who do like it, they really, really, really like it.
Yeah, good stuff, yeah.
I do. I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on it, because no. I do really like it. And it's why the only reason I've not touched it is I haven't got a Switch. So I've been playing it on PC, and I thought it'd be interesting to get the opposite view.
Yeah, no, it was interesting to do, and I think important to see what it's like on console. And the answer is they have not ported it very well, which is a shame, because I agree with you that it's a good game at its bones.
Yeah, excellent. Another one coming out soon that we can maybe hopefully approach and see is V Rising's getting its console port, which means at last the PC version's going to get its controller support, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Interesting.
Yes. Moving on, another quick one, and a game that's a bit of a meme game, but it's a meme game that I really fancied playing, which is unusual for me, but, you know, I'm okay for it. It's called Buckshot Roulette, which is a first-person horror game, but don't let that put you off, because you are literally sat at a table, you get given a shotgun, and a number of shells, and you take it in turns either shooting yourself or shooting the person opposite you, and they also get to do the same. If you get shot in the face, you lose a life. And that's pretty much the game, and it's bloody brilliant. And it's £2.49. And it's brilliant. Yeah, it's a bit more complex than that. So basically the idea is you're in a haunted, like a psycho house or whatever it is, you know, like, oh my God, you've been trapped here, how'd you get here? Oh, I wandered into this room and like, oh, me and you are going to have a game of roulette, this weird monstery like teeth thing in front of you. And basically, yeah, he puts down, there's a shotgun, I've loaded it with three shells and one of them is live, the other two are blank, and you decide, right, you can either aim the gun at yourself and you can shoot yourself, or you can aim it at the other person and shoot them. If you get it right, you don't have to take the next shot, and you can force the other person to do it, or you don't have to aim it at yourself, and stuff like that. But you can also unlock, you get like this box, and you can get out different tools. So you can get out like a magnifying glass that will tell you what the next shell is in there, and you can then decide, right, okay, well, it's a live shell, so I'm going to aim it at the other person. Or you could get a pack of cigarettes that'll get you one of your lives back, and loads of other little things that just basically turn it from just a pure random game of I shoot you, you shoot me, to something that's got a bit of strategy to it. And it's one of those where I started playing it and I started going, this is just going to be one of those one of dumb things. But found the actual nuance behind it really fun and interesting. And the dark nature of it, I think, really works as well. You know, you shouldn't really be, you know, suicide and stuff like that sort of thing. I don't usually like the idea of in a fun game, as such, but it's presented in just the right way that it gets away with it. And yeah, it's like my only complaint with it is that rounds could take a bit too long to play. So you can't just pick it up and play for 10 minutes, which is sometimes what you want to do. If you're in, you're probably in for a good 35, 40 minutes, which is fine. You just got to know you want to play it. So there's been a few times where I've gone, what shall I play? I've got 20 minutes to play. Well, it's definitely not Buckshot Roulette because I know I'm going to be in for the long haul, or I'm going to have to do really badly. And yeah, just loads of little things. Really decent soundtrack, actually, as well, with it. It's creepy, but adds to the vibe. And yeah, it's £2.49. I don't know what else to say, because it just works, and it's just one of those games where you just go, for £2.50, that's like half the price of a cup of coffee these days. If I play it for a day, I'm done and whatever, but you're going to get more than a day out of it. It's really, really good.
It does sound really good, actually. Yeah, it's a great title as well. You know, it's not what you expect from it. Yeah. Very cool.
Proper lo-fi as well, which I really like. You know, they've really lent into the visual style of it. It's grimy as hell, all hell, which is good. And what's really good for a first person game where you sat down, there's a really good sense of movement, which doesn't make sense now, but if you play it, you'll get what I mean. Like, you actually get the sense of, like, when you're picking up the shotgun and stuff, and the slight movements of the camera really give you a feeling of immersing you into it, that you're actually picking up the shotgun. And you do get moments of tension. If you, like, 35 minutes in and onto, like, your fourth round or something, you've got one life left. Your opponent's got one life. The dealer's got one life left. And you've got to decide, I know there's two shells left, let's use the right terminology. And I've got a choice now. Do I turn it on myself or do I turn it on them? It's tense as hell. And you decide, right, I'm going to turn it on myself. Because if you turn it on them and you get it wrong, and you know they got a shot on you for a live bullet, you're done. Or you can turn it on yourself. And that moment where you press the button and for pulling the trigger, the pause you have is like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. And it's a £2.49 game that adds so much tension that you could, that like some of the big boys, like some of the, like the £70 games, can't even get right once. This gets it right time and time again. Highly recommended. If you've got a couple of quids free, pick it up, because experimental games like this deserve all the love.
Well, you've sold me on it. Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy it. That sounds excellent. I really want to have a go at that. Yeah.
So yeah, do Buckshot Roulette, £2.50. It's on Steam. I don't think it's out on anything else yet, but I dare say it'll be one of those that does arrive. So yeah,
cool.
Moving on very, very quickly to what I touch. I've been playing a big boy game. Yeah, I've been playing Horizon 2 Forbidden West. Yes, that's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't have the 2 in it, but yeah, you're right.
I swear it has a 2 in it.
Don't think so.
Well, the little logo on it has a 2. I'm going to have a look now. Okay, so the title doesn't, but the logo does.
Right.
So it's Horizon, then it's got a divider, and the divider's got a little 2 in it.
Clever. I like it.
I know. But that's confusing. I'll put it down now. I'm not playing it anymore. Screw them. No, it's another PlayStation port. And I'm so glad we're in this era where PlayStation exclusives are getting ported to PC. I just think it's great. All we need is Nintendo to do it now. Because, hey, Nintendo, if you want people to stop pirating your games on PC, release your games on PC. Just saying.
Funny that, isn't it?
I know. But yeah, Horizon, been playing a bit of that. I love the first game. I think some of the technology Guerrilla brought into it with the way it only renders what's in your vision code, I think is brilliant. That's a great technology, which allows the game to run well on lower spec hardware. The same true here. This was a game that they said wouldn't run very well on Steam Deck. But yeah, you've got to put up with it being a bit muddy in places. But... so what? I don't care. It looks good still. I'm not a graphics whore. I know it can look probably like 3 times as good, but yeah, it still looks good. But it plays really well. Just what I really like about it is the game design and the accessibility. I like the idea that I can turn on a feature that allows me to not have to press a button to bring up the in-world markers of where things are to pick up or following trails or tagging enemies and stuff like that. I can just have that on all the time if I want, which is a great addition for a game that wants you to actually do the searching. That's just great to have. Colorblind options are really good and help me visually as well, because I do, even though I'm not colorblind, I am blind, so I struggle with certain textures and colors in video games, so that's helped me loads. But what it does, it respects your time as well. It wants you to explore, but it allows you to, like the way it dots campfires around the world, even like in the starting areas where you haven't got to travel. You can fast travel, which is really, really good. It doesn't charge you for fast traveling. I mean, I know if you go to a campfire, you can travel free. If you're in the world, you have to use a fast travel pack, but they're plentiful. I've got about 80 of them, and I'm only 8 hours in. There's never a lot. Oh, there's a campfire over there, and the campfire's never too far for me to walk. I've not got that lazy in the game yet. But it manages to also be a challenge. The combat, every bit of combat feels like an event. I'm scared of the machines still. I'm scared of the machines in the first game, because they wasn't just easy. I'll just take them down. Even in late game, you could easily be sort of like overpowered by a base scrounger or something like that, and it's still there. The scroungers should be easy. They're the minions of the game in a way, but you get that wrong, they will overpower you and you will die. And it's really, really good. It just respects your time, and unlike me, it does respect your time, and I just really like it. Everything about it is absolutely brilliant, and it plays well on Steam Deck, and it's the antithesis to other recent big releases like Dragon's Dogma. So yeah, go on that one. It's brilliant. It's all I can say. And Aloy's still great.
Yeah, No, you're right. I mean, a gorilla, everyone knows my love of gorilla. I'm obsessed with them. And Killzone, I love the Killzone series. I've made good, strong arguments for why it's amazing. And Killzone still looks amazing now. Not just the PS4 game, but even the PS3 game, looks still,
Yes.
they look stunning. They just got a design sensibility that's it's really excellent. And like you said, their level of technical expertise is just beyond so many companies. And one of the best things are that I played it on PS4, Forbidden West. And it ran at 30 frames per second, but it's a locked 30 frames per second with perfect per pixel motion blur. So like there's no like juddering when you turn the camera, it just smoothly moves. And the
Yeah.
experience that the level of just immersion that you get from it working properly is so good. And like you said, the accessibility is there as well, the way it's presented, just everything slots together perfectly. And it's so important. It's like you say, it helps, it widens the audience, it means that more people can access the game. It means that it respects your time. It's just it's a perfect package. Whether you like the game or not, I think there's no argument that it's like one of the best, most fully featured games that's ever been made, really.
Yeah, totally. I like the side missions so far are really, really good. They don't seem to be as the first one I found the side missions, they threw too many side missions at you to start with. So there was so many points of interest on the map. This one, it is building. There is starting to get a lot of icons, but it's not as obtuse this time around. I think Aloy is just one of the best heroines ever in a video game. She's up there as iconic for me as Lara Croft. Not at the moment. She will get there. She continues, mate. If there's continues to be games in her world, because there's something about her look and her attitude that I love her. She's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree.
And the one complaint I was going to have about the game was it doesn't let you save anywhere. It was going to be my one complaint. You've got to go to a campfire to save, like to proper save. And then I realised the checkpoint in and the save, and it's also saving points are so often that it doesn't really matter. You're never going back more than about a minute. Because I had it where I was playing it with the charger out and it died, and I was like, oh, fuck, I've not actually gone to a campfire and saved for ages, and all I've been doing is wandering from this point for about an hour, just looking around. And I was like, oh god, I've lost so much. Went back and I lost about a minute. So yeah, if you, again, this is a good lesson to developers. If you're not going to do any time saving, make your auto saves generous, because again, it does it. It respects your time. It respects you as a gamer. It looks pretty. It plays really well. For some reason, it's unsupported on Steam Deck. I've not touched anything. I just literally turned it on and played it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's unsupported. Great. There's nothing I had to do. Maybe fiddle with a couple of graphic settings just to get it to my liking. But I do that with games that are supported anyway, so I don't know. I have no idea.
No, that's bananas. But
it's, apparently it runs better than the first one, which is verified. So I've not played the first one on Steam Deck, even though I did pick it up for £7. I decided, fuck it, I might as well have both of them.
Nice. Yeah, no, they're great to have on PC. Yeah, excellent stuff.
Yeah, but more of this. This again, one of the examples of what the bigger corporations can do if they do it right. Ubisoft's it's like praising Nigel Farage, but Ubisoft, their accessibility settings are really, really good in all fairness. From those that play them, Sony, I think, are in terms of game accessibility. Microsoft probably have them in terms of hardware accessibility, but in terms of game accessibility, Sony lead the way. And yeah, more of that from the corporations, please.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I want to see. And
talking of understanding your audience, Joe.
Go on.
I'm going to shut up now.
Well, yeah, no, I've had a not exactly the same but similar experience carrying on with Ghost of Tsushima, which is approaching I mean, I don't think anyone can quite touch Guerrilla with this stuff, but it has a lot of that kind of quality of life, user friendliness, respecting your time. It is save anywhere, literally to like any little spot on the map. Fast travel's free. It's just, yeah, it's a really quality experience all the way through. And I mean, I realize that we do sound like old blokes when we talk about it. It's like having a comfy pair of slippers, but it is important. And yeah, they are, it's great
Imagine
stuff.
that becoming a selling point now, by the way. Fast travel's free.
Yeah, I know. I know, but that's where we
We
are.
don't have microtransactions. Yeah, I
I
can't wait
know.
for the next big cheer at E3 when there's an E3 again.
Yeah.
When they, like, in 90 years, when they go, oh, why do we do all these online? Let's get everyone together in a room.
Yeah. And at the moment, it's like that thing at the moment is like, oh, kid going, oh, dad, can I have my pocket money early so I can pay for fast travel in my game? It's like,
Yeah. No, don't, Mike. God, that someone listening at some corporation going, oh, yeah, we could. That's how we could market that.
Oh, are you? Oh, I. That's the way it's going. But anyway, that's definitely enough for this week. So yeah, thanks for listening. As usual, follow all of our content. Make sure that you check us out on YouTube and on the website. If you fancy chatting, you can join our Discord. And in the meantime, until next week, stay safe and stay sane.